daf is daf Kuf Dalid. We were on the very bottom of Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara had raised the point that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah said that Rabbi Yehuda says if someone's trying to write the word Shimon or Shmuel, and he writes Shin and he writes Mem, and he stops at that point, he just wrote Shin Mem, so since Shem is also a name, Shem the son of Noach, he did a malacha. The Gemara asked, how could you say he did a malacha? We learned in the laws of Tefillin and Mezuzah that wherever you're supposed to have a closed mem, you're not allowed to have an open mem. Wherever you're supposed to have an open mem, you're not allowed to have a closed mem. So if he was trying to write Shmuel, or he's trying to write Shimon, he's trying to write an open mem, he stopped. So he didn't write the right letter. How could this be considered a malacha? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who holds that if you were supposed to have an open mem and you end up using a closed mem, or you're supposed to have a closed mem and you end up using an open mem, it's also kosher. So the Gemara asks, is that really so? Is that really so? Midam, is that really comparable? Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira was talking about the source for Nisach HaMayim, and it began with an endomem serving as an open mem. But what's the comparison? Pasuach va'asal sasum, what should have been an open mem, and instead the Torah presented it as a closed mem. Maybe that's kosher, suggests the Gemara, now starting today's daf, because Iluye kama'ailele, when you take what should have been an open mem, the mem of Mayim, and instead you use a closed mem to begin Mayim, you're elevating the word. You're choosing to use a higher form of the letter. Why is the closed mem a higher form than the open mem? To Amar Rav Chisda taught us that in the Luchos, the writing was a miraculous writing. Hashem engraved each letter from one side through to the other. And mem v'samach shebeluchos, the mem sophis and the samach, both of which are letters with a complete line all around. V'nesayomdin, they were standing there miraculously. They were standing there miraculously. So we know that the end of mem, the closed mem, that existed back in the days of the Luchos, and it was there miraculously. Elasasam vaso pasuach, but when you have what should be a closed mem, the mem of shame, and instead you make it an open mem, geruah kamigarale, now you're choosing to make a lesser letter. How do we know that the open mem is not as holy as the closed mem? Because Rabbi Yirmiyah, in some sense, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said, mem, nun, tzadi, pei, and chof. These four letters, sofim amar, they were instituted by the prophets. So they didn't exist in the days of the Luchos. They didn't exist in the days of the Torah. They were instituted by the prophets. I don't know, Yeshayo anavi, Yechezkel anavi. So it can't be that the closed mem was instituted by the prophets, because the closed mem was in the Luchos. So it must be that the open mem was what was instituted by the prophets. That means that the open mem is less holy than the closed mem. So you have no source that you can make what should have been a closed mem, like in shame, an open mem. So Gemara says, V'tizbra, do you think that that's the correct history? Can you think such a thing? But do we know that the verse tells us, Elah mitzvos, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was dying, he says, these are the commandments. These are the commandments. In other words, there are not going to be any future commandments. That's the source. Prophets can't create new laws. So if prophets can't create new laws, it can't be that the prophets created an open mem, and an open nun, and an open chaf. Really, back in the days of the Torah, when the Torah was given at Sinai, there was closed mem and there was open mem. But no one knew what goes in the beginning of a letter, what goes in the beginning of the word, and what goes at the end of a word. Asud Sofim, the prophets came, Tikninu, they established. The open mem is in the middle, in the beginning of a word, and the closed mem at the end of a word. That doesn't work either. Vakati, but still, Elah mitzvos. We know the verse says these are the commandments. Sheina novi reshoi lachadish davar me'ata. Prophet does not have the right to create new laws. To create a new law is not allowed. Ella, apparently, shchachom v'chazur v'yastam. has to be that these laws were forgotten and then they were reestablished. So originally, when the Torah was given, there was an open mem in the middle of the word and a closed mem at the end of the word. And later, that was forgotten how to use it, and then the prophets reestablished how to use these two things. But therefore, both forms of the mem are equally holy, and since they're equally holy, that can be the view of Rabbi Yehuda, that just like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, what should have been an open mem is a closed mem. What should be a closed mem can be an open mem. That's why if somebody writes just Shin Mem from the word Shmuel, even though he wrote an open mem for the closed mem of shame, it's considered writing a complete word. Gufa. All right, let's now talk about the Ten Commandments and the Luchos. We just learned before, Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said, Mem v'samach shebeluchos b'neis hayu omdin. The mem of the Luchos, the samach of the Luchos, was standing up miraculously. Because if God had engraved the letters from side to side in stone, what's keeping these letters up? The samach has a little hole in the, a little circle in the middle. The mem has a little square in the middle. What's keeping them up? It's a miracle that they stood up. Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda taught us another lesson about the Luchos. Ksav shebeluchos nikrim b'fnim v'nikrim b'chutz. There was another miracle about the Luchos. It was godly writing. So the same way you could write it, you could read it, looking at it from the inside, you could also read the word if you looked at it from the outside. Like the word Nevuv could also be read as Buban. The word Rahav could be read as Behar. The word Saru could be read as the word Veres. Wherever way you would look at it, you could see a word. It was miraculous how these letters would rearrange themselves. You could always see a word, no matter what perspective you were looking at them. And now we're going to learn about how special the Hebrew letters are. Amrei Rabbanan Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The rabbis told Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi once in the Beis Medrash. Asu dardika ha'idn lebei midrasha. The children came today to the Beis Medrash. Now, the children came to the Beis Medrash. Amru mili da'afilu b'yemei Yehoshua ben Nun lo itmar kavasayu. And they said such amazing insights that even in the days of Yehoshua ben Nun, insights like this were never said like them. Or these amazing insights. They explained the meaning of the Aleph Beis. The letters Aleph Beis stand for the words Aleph Beina, learn wisdom. Gimel Dalet, why are those the names of the letters Gimel Dalet? Because Gimel is from the word Gimel, Dalet is from the word Dal. Gimel Dalem, do chesed to the poor. Give their rightful due to those who are in need. Now, once Gimel Dalet represents running to do chesed to the poor, my time of shuta kari the Gimel Agabi Dalet, why is the leg of the Gimel stretched out towards the Dalet? Shekein darko shel gomel chasadim. That's to teach you, this is the way of someone who wants to do kindness. Larutz achrei dalim. He runs after poor people. He runs to find opportunities to give. My time shuta kari the Dalet Agabi Gimel. And why is it that the leg of the Dalet is also turned a little bit towards the Gimel? The poor person should make himself available so that the one who likes to do good can be able to do good. And why is the face of the Dalet away from the Gimel? It's only the back of the Dalet that faces the Gimel. That's to tell the charitable person he should give in a very secretive, private way. He shouldn't embarrass the recipient. So that he shouldn't be embarrassed of him. Hey Vav, what's the Hey Vav representing? Zeshmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are the letters of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's the letters of Hashem's name. What are Zayin Ches, Tes Yud, and Chaf Lamed represent? It's like this, Imata Osakein. If you do this, that you learn Torah, Aluf Buna, then Gmol Dalem, then you do kindness. And the way you do the kindness is in a very sensitive way, without embarrassing him, giving it to his back. Then you have Hashem's name with you. And then Hashem, Hey Vav, he's going to do the following. Zayin stands for the word Zanoscha. He's going to provide you with livelihood. Ches means Chenotcha. He's going to provide you with charm. As Rabbi Shimon Schwab explains in his commentary to Ashrei, Poseachas Yadecha Mazbil Cholchai Ratzon. What do you mean that God fills everybody with Ratzon? So as Rabbi Shimon Schwab explains, in life you always need Chen. Somebody has a pizza store. There's somebody else who also has a pizza store. Why will a customer come to Zev's pizza store and not to Yaakov's pizza store? It's Zev's motzei chen. Somehow he finds favor in people's eyes. Customers like him, suppliers like him, bankers like him. And because he finds favor, that's how he survives. Masbiya l'chol chai ratzon. So a person needs chen, needs to have the ability to find favor. If you run to do kindness to others, God is going to give you parnasa, and God is going to give you chen. He's going to give you that charm. Tes umeitiv l'cha. God will do favors for you. Yud v'nosin l'cha yerusha. He's going to give you an inheritance. Chaf v'kosha l'cha keser l'olam haba. He's going to tie for you a crown in the world to come. The lamed is l'cha. He'll tie it for you. All right, now, what's the meaning of the letter mem? Mem psucha, we know there's a mem that's open. Mem stuma, then there's a mem that is closed. Mamar pasuach. Sometimes there are things that you're allowed to explain. You can explain it. Mamar sasam. Sometimes there are things that should be kept hidden. You shouldn't explain them. The Kabbalah shouldn't always be explained. Not everybody can grasp it. If you try to explain it, people might misunderstand it and misinterpret it and make mistakes based on it. Nun kfufa, nun pshuta. There's a nun that's bent. There's a nun that's straight. That tells you the following. Neman kafuf. A person who's loyal to God has to be willing to humble himself, to accept whatever God does. And this is what God wants. The Ritzvi Hirsch Meisels in his book, Mekadshei Hashem, where he talks about the experiences he had in Auschwitz. He writes that those very righteous Jews during Auschwitz who had terrible, terrible tragedies, lost their family members and were suffering, but accepted everything. This is what God wants. We still love God. They just humbled themselves to accept God without challenging, without questioning. They survived. And many of the great intellectuals who were upset with God, were so angry, they went in and committed suicide. They were so angry that this is what God did to them, they went and they killed themselves. So that's what the verse is, that's what the Gemara is saying here. Naaman, a person who's loyal to God, he's kafuf, he humbles himself. Whatever difficulties God gives him, he accepts. Naaman pashut, and ultimately that loyalty will allow him to be straight. The nun becomes straight. In the end, he'll get olam haba, and he'll have reward. Samach ayin stands for smochaniyim, support the poor. Another explanation, what is Samach Ayin? This is how to learn Torah. Siman and Aseba Torah, Ukneosa. When you learn Torah, make mnemonics in order to remember it. You learned Daf Kuf Dalet. Remember, Kuf Dalet is the Daf that has the discussions about the letters. Pei, then you have Pei Kfufa, Pei Pshuta. You have a bent Pei and a straight Pei. That's to tell you Pe Pasuach. Sometimes the mouth should be opened. In other words, when there are people who are interested in listening, open up your mouth and teach. Pesasim. Then there is a closed pay. Sometimes there's so many other people who are teaching, and they're very well qualified. So then you keep your mouth closed. You don't need to go out and teach. Tzadi kfuf of tzadi pshuta. There's a bent tzadi. There is a straight tzadi. That's to say tzadi kafuf. The tzadik bends himself over. And eventually, because he bends himself over, tzadik pashut is going to become, in the end, able to stand up straight, he's going to have great rewards. Ask the Gemara, Hainu Naaman Kafuf Naaman Pashut. But that's what we just said before. The loyal person knows how to bend himself to accept God's decisions. And because he bends himself to accept God's decisions, in the end, he's going to be straight. He's going to be rewarded. He's going to be able to stand up upright. Answer the Gemara, Hosef Lo HaKosef Kfifal Kfifasa. The verse is telling you he has to humble himself and humble himself some more. He has to really adopt the view of humility and submissiveness to the will of the Almighty. From here you see that the Torah was given in a way that everyone should be so bent over, so humbled. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest master of Torah. He's Anav Mikol Adam. And it's to tell a person who wants to be attached to Hashem and attached to Torah, he should be very humble. Kuf represents the word kadosh, holy. Reish represents the word Rasha. My term, Mahada Abedukuf Me Reish. Why is it that the Reish, it's only the back of the Reish that's facing the Kuf? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's that God is saying, Ein ani yachol yistalkim b'Rasha. I can't look at the Rasha. I don't even want to look at his face. My time, Mahada Tagadukuf Lagabi Reish. Now, why though is the crown on top of the Kuf actually turned out towards the Reish? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God is saying, Im chozer bo, if he'll repent, ani kosher lo keser kemosi, I'll tie on his head a crown like my own. Umay time akari de kuf tluya, why is the leg of the kuf hanging? Di yadar bay, that if a person wants to do tshuva, li'ayil, he can go up on that little opening at the top of the kuf. V'le'el b'hach, why doesn't he go up on the other side, where there's the bigger opening between the resh part of the kuf and the leg part of the kuf, the vav part of the kuf? This is a proof to Resh Lakish. Dam Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish said, "My dichtiv." What do we learn from the verse? It's to say like this: if a person, wants to make himself impure, in heaven they'll open up for him the opportunities to do so. If somebody wants to become pure, Messiah, so they help him out, and therefore they don't make him walk around to get to the opening, but he can go in from the top. From the top of the kuf, he can go straight in to come back when he's a Baal Tshuva. What does the letter Shin represent? The letter Shin represents Sheker, falsehood. The letter Taf, the end of the Aleph Beis, represents MS, truth. Now talking about falsehood and truth, my time was Sheker Mikarvan Mile. Why is it that the letters of the word Sheker are close to each other? Shin, Kuf, Reish, they're all next to each other. Kuf, Reish, Shin, they're next to each other. Emes merachka mile, but the word emes, truth, the letters are far from each other. You have a letter from the beginning of the aleph base, aleph, the mem in the middle, and the tuf at the end. It's to tell you like this, shikra shchiach. There's a lot of falsehood out there. Kushta lo shchiach. But it's not so easy to find truth. Truth is not so easy to find. My time of shikra chada karakai. Why is it that all the letters of the word sheker are on one foot? The kuf is on one foot, the resh is on one foot, the shin is on one foot. The ms malbun levune. Whereas the letters ms, aleph, mem, tav, they all are like on cinder blocks. They all seem to have a good strong base. It's to tell you kushta kai, truth lasts. Shikra lo kai, falsehood doesn't last. So there's a lot of falsehood, but it all will dissipate. And truth is rare to find, but ultimately, the truth will last. The truth outlasts. I saw a beautiful hint from Rav Michal Ber Weissmandel, one of the heroes of the 20th century, tried heroically to save Jews during the Holocaust. So he was like hints. He said, there's something called in Gematria, Mispar Katan. Mispar Katan means that you add the digits to each other. So let's say you have a word like the word MS. So the gematria of the word MS is 441. 440 plus 1. So you add the digits to each other. 4 plus 4 plus 1 equals 9. It equals 9. So he said MS, that point, that MS, truth, is what underlying the world, can be found in every number. Every number that you put together, you can find this hint that the root of it is MS. So for example, if you take any number and you subtract from the number, that number's mispar katan, you're going to end up with a mispar katan of 9. So for example, let's take the number 35. So the mispar katan of 35 is 3 plus 5 is 8. 8 minus 35 is 27. 27, 2 plus 7 is 9. And 9 is the Mispar Katan of MS. If you, every number in the world, you take the number, let's say 92. So the Mispar Katan of 92 is 11. You subtract 11 from 92, so you're left with 81. 81, 8 plus 1 is 9, which is MS. So every number in the world, when you take this number's Mispar Katan, and you subtract it from the number, what you're left with is a number who its mispar katan will equal 9, which is the mispar katan of MS, because MS, truth, is the foundation of the world. MS kai, truth is what lasts. Says the Gemara further, now we know that there are ways to swap letters. Sometimes we darshan, we say the letter Aleph should be switched with the letter Taf. Switch the letter Beis with the letter Shin. Switch the letter Gimel with the letter Resh. And sometimes there are other ways to swap letters. So swap the letter Aleph with the letter Tes. Swap the letter Beis with the letter Ches. So At Bash, that swapping of Aleph with Taf, of Beis with Shin, can either be read as a lesson to the sinners, or it can be read as a lesson to the righteous. So to the sinners, it's rhetorical. Osi ta'ev, right? If Aleph, Osi, God says me, ta'ev, he finds revolting, he's rejecting God. Es avelo, do you think that I'm going to now have a desire for him? Beis shin, bi lo chashak, he doesn't want me. So shin, shmi yachul alav, will my name be upon him? You think I'm going to want him if he doesn't want me? Gimel reish, gufo timeh, he defiled his body. Reish, arachem alav, am I going to have compassion upon him? Dalid kuf, dal so sai na'al, he locked my doors. Karnavlo agadeh, am I not going to uproot his horns? Ad kan midas rishayim. Now this is all reading these letters as a message for the sinners. Al midas tzadikim, but to read these letters as a message for the righteous. At bash would stand for the following. Im ata bosh, aleph, right? Im ata, right? Ata is aleph and taf. If you are embarrassed, if you're shameful, bashful, gardak, imata osa kain, gur baduk, you're going to live in the special spot of God. Hatzvap, chatzitza heva ben chalaaf, there's going to be a barrier between you and all the rage. Zachas, tan, beinatam is dazeam and asatan, and you won't be shaken up by the satan. Yam kal, yud with mem, chaf with lamed. Amar sar shel gehenim lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the angel of gehenim says before God, Ribono shel Olam, liyam kol, are all of them going to the ocean? Right? Are they all going to gehenim? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says back, aleph ches samach, beis tes ayin, gimel with yud and with pei, all of these you can exchange them. You can exchange the aleph with the ches, you can exchange the ches with the samach. God says, Ani chas aleihem, I have compassion upon them. Mipnei shabatu, because they rejected, they kicked against the gif. They rejected the gif. So Rashi says that means they rejected immorality. And then Dalet chaf tzadi stands for dakim heim, they are pure. Kanim heim, they are honest. Tzadikim heim, they are righteous. Hey can be exchanged with lamin and with kuf. And that therefore is God, as it were, is telling the gehenim, ein lecha chelek bahem, you have no portion of them. The mem could be exchanged with the resh, and the zayin with the nun, and the shin with the taf. So the angel of gehenim says, Amar gehenim lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, master of the world, Mari zinini mizaros shel seis, I'd like to be filled with the descendants of Sheis, namely the Jews and the non-Jews. Amar leh, so now God tells him another set of exchanging of letters. Aleph with Lamed, Beis with Mem, Gimel with Nun, Dalet with Samach. So therefore God says, no, it can't be. On the contrary, the Jews, Olichim leGan Hadas, I'm going to take them to the Garden of the Myrtles, to Gan Eden. Hey Ayin, and hey can be exchanged with Ayin. Vav can be exchanged with pay. So Amar Gehenim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shalom, Ayif Anochi. Gehenim, the angel of Gehenim says before God, I'm exhausted. I don't have anything to feed me because you're not putting the Jews in me. So God says back, Zayin can be exchanged with Tzad. Ches can be exchanged with Kuf. Halalu Zaro Shal Yitzchak. These are the descendants of Yitzchak. I'm not going to give them to you to feed you. Tes can be exchanged with Resh, Yud with Shin, Chaf with Taf. In other words, Tar, why don't you wait? Yeshli, Kitos, Shalov de Kochavim. I've got plenty of groups of idol worshippers, Shani Nosim Lacha, which I will give you, the angel of Gehenna. Okay, now we go back to the halachos. Again, the topic that the Gemara here is dealing with is the malacha of writing. And as we've learned, writing is defined according to the Tanakhama is writing two letters on Shabbos. Hakosef Shteyosios Behelam Echad Chayev. If a person writes two letters in one state of forgetting that the day is Shabbos, he has to bring a sin offering. Kosef Bidyo, if he writes with black ink, Besam, Besikra, Bekumus, Bekankantum, we're going to see these are different inks. These are red inks and brown inks. Bekol Davashu Roshem, anything which makes a mark. Al Shnei Kosle Zavios, if he writes the two letters on two corners of walls. In other words, he wrote on that corner. And on that corner, the two corners of the wall. Or al shnei levachi Pinchas are on two tablets of a notebook. And they're right next to each other, so you read them together. So in all these cases, Chayev has to bring a sin offering that's a biblical violation of Shabbos. Hakosev el basaro Chayev, if somebody writes on his own skin, he is obligated. Hamisarit el basaro, if somebody scratches onto his skin with a thorn, Rabbi Elazar Chayev Chatos, Rabbi Elazar says it's also writing, he has to bring a sin offering, v'chacham potrin, l'chacham exempt. Now we're going to talk about writing that's not considered writing. Kasav b'mashkin. If a person writes with liquids, b'mei peros, with fruit juices, b'avak drachim, with the dust of the paths, b'avak asofrim, with the dust of scribes, or with anything that doesn't last, pater, he is exempt. La'achar yado, if he writes with the back of his hand, b'raglo, if he writes with his foot, Bepiv, if he writes with his mouth, Bemarpeko, he writes with his armpit. Kazav Osacha Samuch L'Ksav, you only write one letter next to other things that are already written. Ksav Al Gabi Ksav, he writes on top of what's already written. Niskav Nechtov Ches, V'chasav Shtei Zayinin, he was trying to write a Ches, he didn't put the top there, so he ended up with two Zayins. Os Achas Ba'aretz, he writes one letter on the ground. V'achas Bakora, and another one on the roof. If he writes in the two walls of the house, on two boards of a notebook, but they are not next to each other, so you don't see them next to each other, you don't pronounce them together, then pater, it's a rabbinic sin, not a biblical sin. Let's say he writes one letter, but it's sort of as a symbol of multiple letters. So it's one letter that's going to be read as a word, like a hey with a little strechel, that you know that stands for Hashem, stands for three words, three letters, hey, shin, mem. Rabbi Yeshua ben Maseir Machai, Rabbi Yeshua ben Maseir says that's like writing two letters, you're already obligated to bring the sin offering, the Chachamim potrim, whereas the Chachamim exempt.
Rabbi,
oh, yeah, question.
Based on this Mishnah, I guess two questions. Number one is if your windows have like condensation on it, and you know someone writes their name on the right window, that would be okay?
No, it's a rabbinic prohibition.
It's a rabbinic one. Okay, and what about writing letters on a cake with something you can eat?
That's a big discussion. It's a big discussion.
Is that liquid? It's not
necessarily. There's a big discussion. I think the Ramah says that Ashkenazim are not allowed to write with foods. We're not allowed to write letters on a cake. Then the question becomes, can you eat the cake that has the letters on it? Because then you're erasing letters. So it's a question about how to read the Ramah, because the Ramah may be referring to cakes that are in the shape of letters or letters written on top of cakes. But the best is if you buy a birthday cake for somebody, you should ask the bakery to put it on a separate piece of margarine, and you just take off the whole thing so you don't have the issue. They can eat the whole thing at once. Yeah, question, Gabriel?
I understand ideas, Rabbi. If a kid were to write letters on the sand with his foot, that would also be a prohibition rabbinically?
Correct.
Thank you.
Says the Gemara, Dio. Dio is Diota. Okay, it's black ink. Sam is Sama. Sam is the ink Sama. Sikra, Amar Rabbi Brachana, Sikra, Sikartashma, it's the red ink. Komos is Koma, it's a brown ink. It's this black ink that they use to shine the shoes. Then the Mishnah says, "B'kol davar shu roshem, anything that makes a permanent mark." What's that to include? To include what we learned in regards to a get. Rav Hananya says, "Ksavu b'mei tsharia v'afatza." If you write the get with fruit juices. Afatzim are, what are they called? Gall nuts or something. So if you write something with fruit juices, you write a get with fruit juices, kosher, it's kosher. So if it's lasting enough to make a kosher get, to divorce a woman, it's also lasting enough to be a biblical sin of writing on Shabbos. Tani Rabchia said, Ksavo ba'aver, if you write the get with lead, b'shachor, with a piece of coal, the shichor, with some black paint, kosher, it is a kosher get, and therefore if somebody writes with these colors on Shabbos, that also would be a biblical sin of writing. Hamasarit al psaro, then the Mishnah had an argument about someone who scratches onto his skin. Tani lint in a brisa, amalin rebelez lechachamim. Rebelez said to the chacham, how can you say that scratching words onto skin is not writing? Alo ben stata, we know that ben stata, hotik chafim sraim, besrit al psaro. He wanted to smuggle out the secret incantations of Egypt, the magic of Egypt, and he did it by scratching it onto his skin. Amalo, they said to him, shotaya, he was an idiot. And you can't bring any proof from people who are imbecilic. In other words, it was he was so crazy for magic, and he wanted these magic spells. He did something which was dangerous, but normal people are not going to do dangerous things. They're not going to cut themselves to try to send a message and write. And so, for a normal person, it's not considered normal writing, and it's not going to create any malacha. Ksav al gabi ksav, to write on top of writing, that's also only rabbinically prohibited. I'm sorry. Ksav kasav os achas samach l'ksav. He writes one letter next to what's already written. Man tana, who's this tana? I'm rabbi Rav Huna, the lokri belezer, it's against you belezer, do you belezer, belezer holds. Amar is going to tell us tomorrow, achas al ha'arig, if you add one thread on top of what's already woven, chayiv, it's already considered a malacha. So here too, you would think in regards to writing, adding one letter to what's already written would be considered a malacha. Then, ksav al gabi ksav, if he writes on top of what's written, again, it's only rabbinic. Man tana, who's the tana who holds that? Amar Rav Chizra, Rav Chizra says, the lokri b'yehuda, it's not lokri b'yehuda. The tana who's in a braisa. Harei shal yitzarech lichtu v'sashem, if he wants to write God's holy name, yudke vavke, v'neskavim lichtu v'yehuda, he needs to write Yud Kei Vavkin. He writes the word Yehuda Vita and he makes a mistake. Although he till bo dalet and he doesn't write the dalet, he just writes Yud Kei Vavkei. So then it wasn't written to try to make the name of Hashem. So it's written Shalol Lishma. So what does Rabbi Yehuda say in Maseches Gittin? Mavri Olav Kulmus. You just retrace it with a pen or a feather pen. Or Mekadsho. And you can reconsecrate it. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. However, this is not written right. So, right, we learned earlier, it's not written right. So, according to Yehuda, though, this is a kosher rewriting. By retracing the letters, Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's considered writing Hashem's name. So you see that according to Yehuda, writing on top of writing counts as writing, and the Chacham disagree. All right, talking about writing on Shabbos. Tanu l'din abraisa, kasav os achas, v'hishlima l'sefer. Let's say he writes one letter and in that way finishes a whole book. The book, he finished the book of Esther, he finishes the book of Kohelas with this last letter. Or arag chut echad, he weaves one string, v'hishlima l'beged, and he completes the garment with this last string. Then chayiv, everybody agrees that that is significant and he has to bring a sin offering. That was a biblical sin. Man Tana, who's the Tana of this price? Rava Bar Avuna, Rabbi Lezer, Yidah Amar, that's Rabbi Lezer that we quoted before. Achas ala arik chayiv, if you add one string to what's already woven, you're obligated. Rav Asher, Marfilu Timur Rabbanan. Even the Rabbanan who say that when you add one letter to what's already written, it's not considered prominent. But lahashlam shiny, but if that one letter is what's completing the book, that's different, and that is considered prominent. Rav Ami, Rami said, Kasavos achas b'tveria. Let's say a person writes one letter in Tveria, v'achas b'tzipori, and another letter in a different city, tzipori. Chayiv. So according to Rav Ami, he has to bring a sin offering, because ksivahi. Yeah, he wrote two letters, elisha mechusar kriva. It's just they're not next to each other. Somebody has to go from here to there to read them. I said, how could you say that? But we learned in our Mishnah, if he writes on two walls that aren't next to each other, or on two boards of a notebook, they're not seen next to each other. They're not expressed with each other. And he's potter. He's exempt. It's only rabbinic sin. So Gemara says, no. Hasav in the Mishnah, mechusar maisa dekreva. You have to do something to bring the letters next to each other. You have to cut out the parchments in between them. But over here, lo mechusar maisa dekreva. You're not really missing an action to bring them close to each other. In other words, on one parchment he wrote an aleph in Tveria, and another parchment in Tzfat he wrote a beis. So all you have to do is bring the things together. You don't have to cut something out to bring them together. It's not like on two different walls. You have to break down a wall in between and bring them together. Here, it's really basically close. It's just walking. People who walk. So that is considered writing two letters, and that would be chayiv. Tanu in a brisa, higia osachas chayiv. If you fix one letter, that also is a biblical sin, and he has to bring a sin offering. So, I don't understand. Hashta kasav osachas pater. If you write a whole letter, you're exempt. It's only a rabbinic sin. Higia osachas chayiv. If you fix a letter, it's already a biblical sin. Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes answered. Dachav Mayaskin. You know what we're talking about? Kegon shen natalo legag shel ches. How did he fix a letter? He fixed the letter by taking off the top, the V, the upside down V on top of the Ches. The Ches is two Zions with an upside down V attaching them. So Shnei Zion, and he made it in that way, two Zions. Rava said, Kigon Shinatalo Latago Shel Dalid. If let's say he took off the back of the Dalid, Vaso Reish, and he made it into a Reish. And let's say by doing that, he made a Sefer Torah that was Pasul, now Kasher. So the fact that he made a Sefer Torah that was Pasul Kasher, it's like completing a Sefer Torah. And as we just said, even one letter is prominent if it completes a book and endows the book with its holy status. Ad Kan, Daf, Kuf, Dalet.